All right, so my question today is going to be a very simple one. What saps your joy in life? So I will tell you about mine. It's funny that I should bring this up today because I will tell you, if you were here earlier today, you would know already what I'm going to bring up. And that is computers. They really sap the joy out of my life. Takes a half hour to print up the bulletins just to print the first one this morning. It always seems to happen. I know I'm going to use the word always. It always seems to happen that something doesn't want to go right with the computer. And it's always right when you need it done, right here, right now. Every piece of technology goes out on you. And nothing wants to work the way it does. We know it's true. Every one of you know it's true. Those of you in IT really know it's true when we get on the phone and saying, why doesn't this work? Anyway, so that's one of the things that sapped my joy. I can honestly say this morning it did not take my sanctification, so we're good. All right. Who else? Would anybody else want to share what saps your joy? It doesn't necessarily have to be during Christmas time. It can be any time of the year. I hear ya. I hear ya. That sports team, we're always like rooting for our sports teams. And then when they let us down, then you have sports teams like the Lions who consistently let us down. There you go. Our jobs bring us down. People in the passing lane who won't pass. Yep. People with no common sense. Our salary. Yeah, work would be great if I didn't have to do anything. Well, there you go. It'd be kind of hard to be a nurse over the internet trying to take care of things. I don't really have to be there. Yeah, it would work. What else? What else brings you down? Negative people. I hear you. Some people, the glass isn't just half empty. It's down on the floor and it's broke. Everything in life, that's what it seems like. All right, so you're going to tell you, I'm going to remind you all that I'm a chaplain, and so therefore my next statement, I have to say it anytime we start talking about joy and unhappiness and so forth. There is a difference between unhappiness and sadness and depression. Depression is a mental illness that needs to be treated. If you are continuously in that state, please talk to your doctor about that. I'm not joking about it. It's not a funny thing. I know it kind of, you know, mental health is one of those things we don't like to talk about, but I am going to put that in there in this conversation this morning because it is very important that you all understand that. It speaks nothing about how faithful you are to God. It is an illness that needs to be treated, just like cancer is or anything else. All right. Enough said. All right, so we're going to go back to depression. Now, there is a specific someone that we all know for Christmas time who is the epitome of grumpiness. Right? You ever get that face? You ever have that face? Every day on the road, I heard that. I'm waiting for somebody to say, yeah, with my kids, right? I've probably had that face multiple times when I'm dealing with my children when they were smaller. Boss, with a boss, right? So this list is not what I would call scientific, but it's a list that I found, the things that steal our joy. People who complain, What do you think? Is that right or wrong? Does that suck your joy pretty quick? Well, procrastination. That's us. That's us, isn't it? That's what happens when we allow ourselves to just put stuff out, put stuff off. We'll get to it later. And then guess what happens? We don't get to it. Or when we do, instead of just being important and needs to get done, it's automatically, I can't believe it's not printed yet. I don't know why this technology is not going right. And guess what happens? It's not exactly what happened with the bulletins today, just for the record. It was not procrastination. Then there's gossip. Does gossip bring anybody down around here? We know we're not supposed to be doing that, right? But we like to talk about other people and their problems and their issues. Is there a difference between going, what's the difference between letting somebody know something about someone and gossiping? What's the difference? Intent? What was yours? Intent? Did I hear something else? If it's true or not? Yeah. I would say that both of those are correct. If you're talking about gossip, what's your intention? It's to dish the information that you have, right? To make the other you look good and informed in the other person's eye. And not really caring about the ramifications for the person you're talking about. Whereas talking to someone, you know, if you come to the prayer group or you come in here and you say, hey, I would like us to pray for so-and-so, you know, they're going through something, the intention is really to get us to pray for them and to care about them and lift them up in prayer. And the intention is for us to focus on the other individual in love. So when you get in those gray areas, you can't figure out which one it is, identify it as gossip. Approval seeking. Does that bring you down? People pleasing? This runs in with number five also, and it depends on how we identify it. If we identify us having to seek approval all the time and getting people to reinforce us, it's probably because we have that negative talk going in our heads. But then we also have to deal with other people who are always trying to get one up on the rest of us. Of course. Number six, uncut promises. You know, if I promise to do something for you, see, now, if you ask me to do something for you, you're going to find me responding in two ways. One, okay, I need to write this down. Or two, you need to text me that or I will never remember it. And if I forget to tell you that, text me because I will never remember it. Okay? But uncut messages is, or promises is a huge one as well. Negative self-talk. It's when other people do it as well as we do it. When we look at ourselves and we think we're not good enough. Negative self-talk can also be that motivation for us to want to excel and work and burn ourselves out, okay? To go overboard on things. Whatever we do, whatever event we're trying to do, it has to be absolutely perfect, because if we don't, then we're not going to get the approval, and I'm a bad person. So it's, yeah, five and seven, they correlate pretty strongly. Next. Connected to circumstances. Okay, I know I've said this before. Some of you haven't heard me say this, but I'm going to remind you all. I am not a pastor who believes that there's a difference between joy and happiness. I think it's the same word. Spelled a little differently. Completely differently. But anytime you try to connect your joy and your happiness, whatever it is, the mood that you're in and how you see your life, with the circumstances around you, you're going to have those major ups and downs in life. So when you connect yourself, it's all about what's happening. It's all about the present and the gift that I'm getting and so forth. Life is going to let you down. And that's the way it is. Got to find something better. living in the past. Anybody ever do this before? You don't have to raise your hand. I know that everybody would raise their hand if they really thought about it. Living in the past, looking at those regrets, looking at those, oh, I should have, or I wish I didn't do, or I wish I, right? These are the should-haves. Should-have, would-haves, could-haves. The fact is, it's in the past. It needs to stay in the past. Fear of the future. I would imagine we all know somebody who's afraid of what the future looks like. Why? Because we do not control the future, do we? It would be kind of fun. It could be a mess, too. I'll leave that one to God. And prayerlessness. Why do you think prayerlessness is number one? Right, exactly. You know, people ask me, why do I need to believe in God? Why do I really need to have a connection with God? And I'm going to tell you, there's a quote I have later on, and it says, "Praise is the mode of love which always has some element of joy in it." See, when you take the time and you praise God, you praise what God is about, you worship God, you are experiencing love. You are giving it out. You're experiencing how to love, how to care, how to worship Him. And at the same time, you get the same in return. You're remembering what it's like. When we talk about prayerlessness or prayerfulness, however you want to look at it, when we look at prayerfulness, we're going to a moment when we are worshiping God. We are connecting with God. We are looking for His will. We are looking for His love, His connectiveness, and all that other stuff. And we're finding it in that relationship with God. I do Facebook. Most of you probably know that. There was a TED Talk on there about longevity of life. Do you know what the number one and number two elements are in somebody who lives longest? Not optimistic. Anybody take a wild guess? You would think, but no. It's in the top 10. So is optimism. What is it? No. Deep fried Twinkies? No. It's not to do with what you eat. It's not about what you eat. It's not about how much you exercise. They are in the top 10, but they are not number one and number two. It's not faith either. What is it? Isn't that weird? See, you guys are coming up with the same answers that I would. No, they are how many people you talk to and engage with and have relationship with and how deep your relationships are. Right. I'm thinking to myself, I should have seen that one coming, but I didn't. We all need God. That's what it shows me. And that is what it shows me. Because when we look at it, when we think about it, what do people of faith do that people who do not go to church don't do? If you watch our community, if you watch the people that we know and that we love who aren't churchgoers, what do they get out and do they have deeper relationships with the community like this? They don't. Who do they work with? I mean, the only people they really have contact with, a lot of them, even when I was a hospice chaplain going into people's homes who never went to church, never was involved in churches and stuff like that, they would tell me, I worked with people, I came home, and that's what I've done for my entire life. I didn't care about anything else. Or family members will talk, all he does is come home, sit down on the couch, and watch TV. He watches the 6 o'clock news, and probably drinks his beer and puts his feet up and goes to sleep. That's all he does. I'm not saying that no one who goes to church has relationships, but I will tell you, in churches, one of the things we're called to do is have relationships, be with each other, engage with each other, care for one another, and those, according to that TED Talk, are right in line with longevity. All right, so if we got those two knocked off, now we start having to work on working out a little bit better, eating less fried Twinkies, and then we'll go from there. But that's next year. Okay. So another thing when we look at being Christian, especially this time of the year, we start looking at Mary. When we look at the different circumstances, living in the past, living in the future, or fear of the future, if we back up one, the connected of circumstances, if we back up one, it's good. You weren't procrastinating, were you? No, I'm just kidding. Seeking approval, negative talk, gossip, complaining, all those really wrap it up. If you look into Christianity and what we teach, we're looking at a way we can bond with God, trust in God, know that he keeps his promises. We see keeping of promises as when we look at scriptures now, we see the Old Testament scriptures pointing us to a Messiah, and we see the coming of the Messiah. We see over and over again in the Old Testament where God makes a promise and he fulfills that promise. God is a promise keeper. That is what he does, and that's what he continues to do. When we're talking about the rest of the stuff up there, we're talking about a God who loves us. He looks at your past and he says, you know, all you have to do is say, I'm sorry, and mean it, and ask for forgiveness, and you've got it. Whatever you've done, the past is the past, the future is the future, move on. Now, looking at the future, are you afraid of it? Don't be afraid of it, because God promises he will not leave you, he will not forsake you, he'll walk through you, with you, through even the valley of the shadow of death. Don't have to fear anything. Have strength, have courage, for I will be with you. So we don't have to fear the future. Complaining? Guess what? Don't have to complain. If you bring things to God in prayer and you say, Lord, I need you. I need you to show me the way. I need you to show me your power, your glory. Show me how to deal with whatever it is that we're looking at, everything that it is that we are afraid of, everything that's getting on my nerves, even the computers. Show me a way to let it go. Show me a way to find peace in these rough seas of life. When we look at gossip, God turned. Silence my tongue. Approval seeking, guess what? Here on earth, you're going to find people who don't like you. I know, right? People are not going to like everything we do. It's just the way it is. But you know what? Your Heavenly Father loves you. You don't have to do anything to seek his approval. All you have to do is love him and accept his love and his approval. Negative self-talk? Stop it. I know that was easy, right? Now I'll tell you why. God created you in his own image. In God's own image, you were created. You were created, you are loved, you are cherished by the Almighty creating God. There's nothing negative about that. If you embrace it, you are doing what God has asked you to do. The next slide. Connection to circumstances. When we seek God out, it doesn't matter what's happening to us. Good times, bad times, we're going to be able to be about right here. Does that mean we're not going to feel, we're not going to be sad, we're not going to be sorrowful, we're not going to feel good things, bad things? Absolutely not. I don't want us to be stoics. I don't want us to be, if you would, for those of you like sci-fi, Vulcans. We are supposed to embrace who we are and our emotions. There are not good and bad emotions. There's just emotions. You can find happiness and joy, not so much in the circumstances that we deal with. When you get that extra tax bill this year, you're like, ugh. You don't have to be happy about that. But is it going to destroy your life? When your boss is on your case about that report that needs to get out, when your coworker is doing something to you and making you do all the extra work and taking all the extra credit for it, is that going to destroy your life? If you lose your job, is that going to destroy your life? Or are you going to still be able to find that hope and that peace that comes only from God? When the Lions lose a football game, and I will guarantee you the Lions will lose another football game, is that going to destroy you as a fan? If it does, you need to stop watching the Lions, because I will tell you they will lose. But if we come to God in prayer, if anything that we're going through, we know and we trust in Him, we can be rock solid knowing that He's got our backs. So we looked at Mary today, and we start hearing what it's like to be a person of faith, to know that God has got you and accepts whatever it is that's going on in your life, to know that He will take care of you. So I'm not going to read the entire reading of today. We're going to start with verse 36. So that's slide 11. Okay. So Gabriel just came, told her that she was going to be the son, she's going to bear the Son of God, that the Holy Spirit would come and be with her and then conceive a son. And now this is where we pick up. In fact, the first two words are, "And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to the Judean town in the countryside, in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for He has looked with favor on the lowliness of His servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. So ends our gospel reading. Think about it. How many of you would respond in the same way? How many of you can respond in the same way that if an angel comes to you and says, hey, this is going to be kind of mind-blowing in your life, but here you go. Would you be like Mary and say, I'm just amazed that the Lord has chosen me? Can you look at your life and say, God said that I should be like this, but that'll never happen in my life because Elizabeth was supposed to be too old to have a child, but we know that she's pregnant. Scripture reading today says there's nothing that God can't do. All things are possible through him. I want to share a quote. If you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them. They are not the sort of prize which God could, if he chose, to hand out to anyone. What do you think about that? Anybody take a guess who that was? She's good, isn't she? That's C.S. Lewis. Can you read this last line? Which one? If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life. Well, you're good. You're good. It is, isn't it? All right. So I put this up here is because of this. Look, holidays are hard, especially when we talk about Christmas time. For those of us who have lost those who are closest to us, we miss them. And that's true. There are going to be things in this world that are going to be hard for us to do that's going to try to sap our happiness, kill our joy. But if we want to get warm, if we want to get wet, if we want joy, power, peace, eternal life, we must get close to the one who can provide it for us. And everything out there of this world is temporary. None of it can give us these blessings. God can, but you have to go and stand close to him. So when it says that prayerlessness saps joy, saps happiness, it's right. But we can find our joy, find our happiness, regardless of what life throws at us, when we're next to him. When we're in him and when he is in us. That is his promise. That's what he shows us by sending his only son to a manger. When he sends his only son to a cross. That's where we can find our joy. Let us pray. Lord God, we praise your name. We praise your name for how good and wonderful you are. Lord, walk with us in everything that we do. Help us see the joy and feel the joy of being one of yours, for being redeemed, for being loved. Just continue to walk with us, Lord. Let us know your power, your grace, your mercy. And yes, Lord, remind us of your passion. You are an amazing God, Lord. Thank you for being the one you are. Help us, Lord, show you to the rest of the world. They may get to know you through us. We pray these things through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.